From the golf capital of the world, it's AcmeCast number 250. I'm Steven.
And I'm Carly.
I can't believe there is not a better nickname for Myrtle Beach or North Myrtle Beach than the golf capital of the world.
I believe it.
But that's not what we're here to discuss today. Today, we're trying something completely different. We're doing our first ever DVD commentary as an episode of AcmeCast. So this thing is going to be one of the longest episodes we have ever done. And depending on how it goes, I would like to do all six of these movies before the newest installment comes out on December 17th. But I also don't want to waste anyone's time doing it. I don't mind wasting your time.
Oh, that's love for you.
So we'll see how this goes. Tonight we're going to be watching Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. And we're going to be starting with A New Hope as opposed to Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, because we are on vacation.
And I don't want to watch it.
And why should we have to ruin our vacation? So let's get right into it. We are, just so people can follow along, we're watching the latest Blu-ray DVD release of it. We're not watching the original theatrical cut. We're not watching the special edition. We're watching, for all of these movies, the current Blu-ray release.
I mean, I just want to say that when we went to go buy the DVD today, we were hoping to maybe be able to buy the movies separately. I mean, I think you can only buy them as a unit on iTunes. Is that right?
No, you can buy them individually on iTunes for $20 a piece.
What? That is ridiculous. They have made their money back 5 billion times over.
Disney hasn't made their money back, though.
Well, that is true.
So we're going to hit play now with the 20th Century Fox intro. And I don't know how the audio is going to pick up.
See, that's what it sounds like.
It sounds like Trogdor the Burninator and the dragon comes in the night.
Exactly. Right now on the screen, this is 20th Century Home Fox Entertainment. There are searchlights. The sky is blue. And now it's black.
Now we're finding out that the movie is rated PG. That seems anticlimactic to me. Like, wasn't it just 20th Century Fox would bleed over into the, I guess we're getting it now, the 20th Century Fox bleeding over into the Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
And then straight into the title.
I'm a really good singer.
The most famous line in all of cinema. I never noticed that.
What?
There are four dots on the ellipses.
Oh, like story has been told?
No, like
that's closing off the comment. Does it pick up with ellipses?
No.
What are you saying?
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, period, 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 period.
Well, the period ends the ellipses, so it doesn't begin with an ellipses then when it begins the text.
You don't need
happening.
A period to end in ellipses.
I mean, honestly, do you think they could start a movie, though, now with this much text, unless it was, like, subtitled?
They're going to, and now we're watching the crawl. The second paragraph of the famous Star Wars crawl has begun. And I was wondering today, do you think they write the crawl as the very first thing? Is that the jumping off point now, where you have to do it for every movie? And even every movie after A New Hope. Did they start with the crawl, or did they see what everything was going to be and then write the crawl last?
Maybe they were like, what
see,
would be...
See, four dots again at the end.
You're right. You're right. And you know what they did there, too, that I'm going to give them credit for, is rather than do the left justified or the centered text. They did that. What is it when you... When
full
you,
justification.
That's a bold choice. I'm going to go ahead and say that. But yeah, as far as the text, I would think it's like, you know, what's the part we don't want to shoot? Let's just make that all the preface, and then we don't have to really visually show it at all. I don't know.
Now we pan down on Tatooine. And the Rebel blockade runner. And then the Star Destroyer. Now in this opening scene where Darth Vader is coming through with the stormtroopers and they're fighting the rebel soldiers. I have probably read the novelization of Star Wars, which was also written by George Lucas and is still available in print today, more than I have watched the movies.
What? I mean, I've definitely read the books, including the novelization of the movie. I can't really remember anything about it, except for the preface, him talking about the process.
Well, one of the things that I always remember about this opening scene with the stormtroopers cutting in and the firing going on, and that I always remember about Star Wars in general, is they describe, and I think they do in all three of the novels, the smell of ozone, because they're all like firing electrical blasts, and so it smells like, I guess, an electrical fire?
Hmm. I mean, is ozone, isn't that like when it rains and then, no, that's different. Okay, never mind. You can edit that out.
I'm not editing anything out. What? That's the other point of doing a commentary, is that as soon as we're done with the movie, I'm done with this and I can just post it.
Ah, okay.
There you go. Some behind the scenes for everybody. Do you think the first stormtrooper through the door was scared? Like, I mean, they were just mowing them down.
Really, though, are these people clones at this point? Or did the stormtroopers, did they start recruiting people to be stormtroopers?
Well, that's the kind of thing. I don't think they ever focused on individual stormtroopers in any of the movies. And then in the books, there were definitely, like, sign up, join the Empire.
Yeah, that's true.
And stuff like that. Like, here's where we're training our new stormtroopers, and they weren't clones anymore. But now that all of that has been retconned, maybe they are still clones?
I mean, I would think that they would be, just because if you have, like, a ready workforce, that will literally all think the same. I don't see why you wouldn't.
Well, let me say this in favor of the non-cloned theory. Wouldn't they have gone in, and the way that they've changed these movies, like adding Hayden Christensen into the end of Return of the Jedi, wouldn't they have gotten the guy that did Jango Fett's voice to dub all of the Stormtrooper audio?
Yeah. I mean, do you think they think that kind of thing through, though?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I was sitting here thinking, well, I wonder why there are no girl Stormtroopers, because it's not like the military where, you know, girls can't be in the military now because they're like, oh, well, girls can't carry that many packs. I mean, literally all you're carrying is around some PVC, like, uniform and a laser gun.
Yeah.
And they even kind of have, like, built-in boobs.
I suppose so.
Breastplate, sorry. I was told I cannot curse.
That's not a curse.
Okay.
I just don't want to go down.
Too dark.
Yeah. Now, do you remember when you first saw Star Wars?
Yes. I actually did not watch this particular one until I was in high school because we had VHS tapes because my dad worked at a video store. And we had episode 5 and 6. So I watched The Empire Strikes Back about 700 times. And I remember getting the VHS tape when they did some kind of special re-release, maybe when I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah, the special editions. So
when that came out, and I, like, this was a huge thing at my house. My sister, Christy, and I sat down and watched this movie many times.
I know my dad rented it on VHS. by 1988 or 89 that he showed it to us, my dad would be like, all right, this week we're going to watch the Star Wars movies. And he would go rent like A New Hope on Monday and Empire Strikes Back on Wednesday and Return of the Jedi on Friday.
And that makes it sound like they were Boy Scout badges that you had to check off.
I mean, it kind of was. Like, I remember we did that with the Rocky movies. We did it with the Star Trek movies. Something we never did it with was Indiana Jones. I had never seen Indiana Jones, any of them, all the way through until I was in college.
What?
Yeah, when we bought them at Ed McKay's and watched them. That was the first time I had ever watched Indiana Jones.
You know, one thing I like about these movies that 1, 2, and 3 lack is they have really great lighting. I mean, it's definitely like that 70s lighting, but still, it's really bright and the space is, I don't know, it's occupied. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, I think they frame shots well. Like a few minutes ago, we saw the famous scene of Princess Leia bending down over R2-D2, and it's like just framed well with the whole hallway. And there we saw R2 and 3PO in the escape pod with the Death Star behind them framed in the window, and it was rotating. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I just found out the other day that I believe Carrie Fisher just turned 57 years old.
Yikes. She looks like a leather football.
Yeah, I would have thought she was in her 70s.
I mean, even Harrison Ford, I think, looks a lot older than he is. I wouldn't imagine he's much older than her, but I would say he looks almost 80.
Yeah, I guess the same is true of Mark Hamill.
Yeah, but he has the excuse of, I was in a really bad car accident.
That's not an excuse for why he looks differently than he does in Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. I will say Darth Vader's mask, I never really thought about it, but it kind of looks like a little kitten face.
I think you just have kittens on the brain.
This is true. We did just get a kitten together.
Mark Hamill is 64. Carrie Fisher is 59. And Harrison Ford is 73 at this point.
Do you think part of this movie, I never really thought about it this way, but do you think there was any of that like 70s style storytelling where it's like, you know, the really organic, like earth-driven freedom fighters against the really corporate-minded, mechanical bad guys to the story? You know what I'm saying?
If that is the case, then George Lucas is the greatest sellout in the history of the world, but I don't think anyone would argue that either. Now, seeing R2 and 3PO getting center stage here, I can feel like I can bring up for the first time that I feel like it's almost wrong, even though I'm sure they're happy for the acknowledgement and they're happy for the paycheck. It seems wrong to bring in Kenny Baker or Anthony Daniels at their age to get back into
these horrible suits. Yeah.
To get back into their suits, or Peter Mayhew getting back into the Chewbacca outfit. This is a man that can't walk unassisted anymore. Mm-hmm. And you're asking him to put on all this hair and fur and, or in the case of Anthony Daniels, get in this tin suit where you can't move.
Well, hopefully they won't put him back in the desert.
That's true.
I imagine that to be very hot.
Tunisia in summer.
Maybe that's why he's walking with a limp.
Now, is this was digitally added, right?
That dead skeleton on the sand dune. That's one of those sandworms from Beetlejuice. Who owns the property for Beetlejuice?
I don't know.
Just thinking about Tim Burton and him being such a Disney guy.
Seems like Beetlejuice would be a really fun ride.
Yeah.
I mean, we obviously have Beetlejuice on the brain as much as we have kittens on the brain, because Halloween just passed. We watched Beetlejuice again. You had Smitty draw you a Beetlejuice Madball.
Heck yeah.
We named the cat Lydia after Lydia Deetz. But it just seems like the Spider-Man ride, like a 3D kind of in-your-face, 4D, 5D experience. Beetlejuice would be really good for that.
I mean, I also feel like I have the whole who owns properties in my head, because today we went to the Disney Store outlet, which is a whole other kind of retail experience.
It really was. And it's like, it wasn't only impressive how friendly they were.
No, they weren't friendly. They were like almost willing you to be perky. I don't know. It was like almost like one of those conversion camps.
I mean, and it was like any topic that you brought up, they had something else to follow it up with. Mm-hmm. And so by that, I mean, you went in and you were looking at the Star Wars stuff. And
which
you
was front up, and center.
Yeah, you picked up a BB-8 ornament and they were like, oh, are you excited for the new movie? It's only 43 days away. I was looking at the Marvel Select figures to bring back to the store, and they were like, and I had like my arms literally as full as possible with six different figures. And they're like, do you have all the Avengers here? And I was like, no, I only got some of them. And I got two Hawkeyes because he's my favorite. And they're like, yeah, Hawkeye isn't that popular around here, but we sure liked him. I can't believe they left him out of the Zoomy Zooms. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
Or like I went over to, they had like an ornament tree of $10 ornaments. And the guy working at the counter was like, just to be clear, your BB-8 ornament is not included in the $10 ornament promotion, because he just has, or the BB-8 just has too much force at this point.
Or yeah, he was like,
the force is too strong with BB-8. That
yeah,
was it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, dude, I'm buying the ornament. I'll pay you an extra dollar to stop.
But it was also interesting at the Disney store. They had those Marvel Selects, which there's pretty much a different Avenger that's exclusive to the Disney stores and the Disney parks. So I got the Hawkeye figure from Matt Fraction and David Aja's run. I didn't see any difference in the Hulk figure that they had, but they had a Heroic Age Iron Man, Thor from Jason Aaron and Asad Ribic's Thor God of Thunder, Superior Spider-Man, no Black Widow, of course.
No, but they had the Black Widow, what's that little bean thing or whatever, where it's like a little pill-shaped thing that had a face on one end and then their graphic on the back end. It was bizarre.
So in the movie, we're now in the Jawa Sandcrawler. And I've probably brought this up on the
podcast
before.
That's straight up
a
trash can, right?
Yeah, the gonk droid. Gonk, gonk, gonk. I brought it up on the show before, but when I was little and I would read comics, I didn't understand what the ads were. And so I would just continue reading. Like, I'd be like, I don't know why this Jawa droid factory, I don't know what that has to do with Spider-Man, but I guess I'll get back around to it at some point. And I would read all the details, including probably the mail-in coupon for the Jawa Sandcrawler.
That thing really is, like, in a different context, pretty nightmarish.
Mm-hmm. There's the troop transport shuttle.
Wow, seeing that digitally added guy riding, or stormtrooper riding, whatever that is, really adds to the experience. And you can see the lighting is totally different, though, between, like...
I think it's a Dewback. Austin will get mad at me if I'm wrong.
He'll get so mad at me, too.
Look, sir, droids. I found a piece of junk.
Now, is that background digitally added? Like the mountains there?
I don't know. I think that whole shot is.
Yeah.
I mean,
the light again is different.
Yeah.
It's a lot sharper.
I'm not somebody that is upset by the altering of...
I mean, I'm not upset about it. I just feel like it's anti the spirit of the thing. It's like... You don't take a perfect book and then just go back and keep adding sentences to it.
Well, that's where you get into the arguments of the people versus George Lucas. But if you're talking about a perfect book, did Stephanie Meyer not just go in and rewrite Twilight with reverse gender roles?
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's a complete money grab. And I guess this is too. I just, you know, I feel like the spirit of it, it's like, if you want to win over new fans, I just think this isn't the way to do it. Younger fans. What do you think that droid does? Like, grabs hot peanuts?
How about that one that's just a dome? I think the bigger question...
That one's a bomb droid.
...with that is... Because we've talked about this. Me and Jay have talked about it this year. So, Venom was introduced in, I think, 1989... We are further from Venom being introduced into the Spider-Man mythos from 1989 to 2015, almost 16, than you are from 1989 back to Spider-Man being created in 1963. So at what point is Venom classic, even though he doesn't feel classic? Even though he wasn't introduced into until Amazing Spider-Man 300. So basically my question is, like, for the sake of argument, how long would the special editions have to be around before they become the definitive version of Star Wars?
I guess maybe at the point where the market no longer has those old versions.
But they don't.
Well, I'm saying enough where not enough people have the old versions, even in their houses. Like, that's not where people first watch Star Wars, how they watch it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's just a thought.
I should also say in this conversation that, like many movies from my childhood, my dad did rent the trilogy on VHS for us at Video Review in Adams Farm Shopping Center.
R.I.P.
But when we actually had copies to own, it was taped off of the USA Network in a marathon. This was a character, the R5 droid that Luke buys instead of R2-D2 at first. It had a bizarre action figure when all the special edition, the like 3 3/4 or 4-inch figures were coming out, because it opened up into a rocket launcher.
What?
Yeah. It makes no sense.
Well, that's a droid you should have taken then. Or Luke should have. Do you think Mark Hamill would have ended up being such a nerd icon if he hadn't had... Like, if... Because here he's kind of a pretty boy. You know? Instead of going more into voice acting in that piece. Like, after his accident.
Mm-hmm. Was he ever in anything else? I mean, I'm sure he was.
Yeah, I think he's been in other things. I'm pretty sure. I know my sister Christy had the hots for him in a real way.
Luke playing with his T-16 model. T-16 Skyhopper.
His boots always reminded me of mummy boots. And I never really understood them either, because they just look like you would just get sand all up in the little bandages that are wrapped around them.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised no one has made like a hotel out of that. Like that.
Yeah, the dome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very 70s.
I mean, I guess Tunisia is not going to embrace that.
Yeah.
But... It seems like somewhere should do it the way New Zealand made like a Hobbiton. Hobbit town?
Mm-hmm.
Hobbiton?
Hoboville?
What is he cleaning when he switches on this projection?
I don't know. Maybe it almost looks like he's trying to like pick a piece out. Is Luke a dweeb? Because the way he's standing is just like,
now, Luke wants to...
Does Luke have friends, do you think?
Yeah. He's got a, you know, Biggs Darklighter who just went off to join the Alliance and...
Yeah.
Fix it and Fixer and Trixie out at Tosche Station.
Oh, that's true.
Why is R2's projector since we're talking about special edition stuff, why is R2's projector worse than the projectors in the prequels?
You know what else is interesting is I never really thought about it, but R2 records it from the side, but visually he records it from the front.
That is true. Unless it's like 3D, and that's just the angle that Luke is sitting at.
I suppose so.
Because R2's kind of projecting it straight.
You know, Mark Hamill has kind of a nice symmetry to his face with that little cleft chin. You don't see too many cleft chins anymore. You know, that video of Leia was probably all of the data he could hold.
Yeah.
Like 48 floppy disks, and it's just that. Old Ben. Now, is this their garage, or is this, like, where he lives? It's got to be their garage, right? Yeah.
Now, the restraining bolt on here, no droid ever has one ever again. Like, 3PO has one, R2 has one, no other droid, they don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, even on the Empire ships, they're not like, we got to keep these droids in line.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's like,
they just do what they're told.
I feel like R2 and C-3PO have a relationship very similar to you and I sometimes. I am definitely the R2 in our pair.
I wonder if R2 and 3PO made it easier to accept Rocket and Groot. In Guardians, like this character that just says one thing and only one person can understand what he says.
Yeah, that's true.
Or I guess a combination of R2 and 3PO, or yeah. R2 and Chewbacca.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely the odd couple in a way.
There went the famous Blue Milk, the operating name for Star Wars Blue Milk Special, or shooting title.
Wait, didn't he say he was going to go check on something really quick and I was just like sitting down drinking milk?
I don't know. He's got to eat. It also seems like, not that they would necessarily be covered up like sand people, but when they're up top and stuff, they would be taking more precautions against the sun. Like at least
what's
a hat.
His aunt's name?
Baru.
I mean, first of all, let's talk about that denim jacket, okay? That's pretty amazing. Second, let's talk about that collar. It is at least 6 inches in either direction. And what I'm trying to say is, I want them both.
So Luke wants to be an Imperial, right? He wants to, like, fly TIE fighters and stuff. He wants to fly, and he wants to go to the Academy, which would have to be the Imperial Academy.
I mean, I think he's just frustrated he's a little boy who wants to be a big boy. Those just look like CPU monitors stacked. She has the same haircut as Luke.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she only knows how to cut her own hair. And so that's the only way she knows to cut his hair.
Now, which one is the real son?
They both are.
Well, no, oh, I mean in this world. Yeah. I'm saying in on Earth. Do you
maybe
think it's the red or the
them?
White? Yeah. It's just like, huh, which one of them's real? They're both real, man. I could go white. I could go good. I could go red.
Oh, but going back real quick to...
That's a very sensual shot.
The versions we had of these movies were recorded off of the USA Network. And my dad was literally sitting there watching them, and every time a commercial break would stop or would start, he would stop recording and then wait until it was over to hit record again but they had these bumpers on them. So to me, like, there are points in the movie where I hear it, like, we'll return to Star Wars. We now return to Star Wars. I definitely remember that in Return of the Jedi. It was like, we'll return to the return of the Jedi.
You know, that might be where you got your early editing skills from.
There is always that chance.
What do you think that room's like? That one that looks like a pancake with windows all along the outside of it.
I don't know.
It's pretty cool, actually. You know, C-3PO kind of stands like he always has to go pee.
Luke also doesn't have it that bad. Like, he has his own ship.
Dude, if you lived in a hole in the ground...
He has a T-16 Skyhopper. He has his own ship. Like, and his own land speeder.
Yeah, but now he has no friends. And look, she's clearly making, like, leek something. I don't blame him. She's like, I'm going to boil these leeks.
Who's driving?
That's a really weird windshield because it doesn't really cover their face. Luke says
hit the accelerator. Who's driving?
Harry's driving.
And there's the Tusken Raiders on the Banthas.
Who did the puppetry for this movie?
ILM, I would think. Industrial Light and Magic.
I think if they redesign these robots for today or stormtroopers, they might not make it look like they're wearing diapers. Because it kind of does look like C-3PO is wearing a diaper.
It's true.
Maybe that's because he's got to pee all the time.
How did this sand person sneak up on Luke like this? Like right in front of his face and he had no idea.
Now, does the sand person have, like, little spikes in their head, or are those, like, metal coins in their helmet?
I think it's, like to help tubes. Them breathe and stuff, yeah. So they can see and breathe. But that's what I'm saying. If, like, the sand people have to go to that length, then why don't...
Yeah, see his little...
Why don't humans have to do that kind
that's
of thing?
That's true. Why would you have a red car in the desert?
Why does he have so much junk in his car?
Yeah. Why did he just... The sand person just pulled, like, the little cover for his rocket thing on the side off and just threw it to the side. Didn't look inside after. How did R2 even get in that hole? It was, like, smaller than he is.
Maybe there's a back way.
Yeah, okay.
Sir Alec Guinness.
Great beard work.
Why do you think his accent changed from Ewan McGregor's to that?
Maybe he listened to a lot of Beatles records once he retired from being a Jedi. Whoa, man. Who says somebody's last name when they wake up? It's like, Steven? Steven Mayer?
If he changed his name to Ben, why wouldn't he also change the Kenobi?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think it's pretty weird to be known as Old Man Ben, but I guess it was a different time. Obi-Wan Kenobi?
So now... Why would Obi-Wan not recognize R2 right off the bat?
He listened to a lot of the White Album. He did a lot of desert
And I'm saying this not to punch holes in the movie, but I'm saying if George Lucas has gone to all these pains to change other things to supposedly make more sense, why not this as well?
Yeah. Oh, before you were born.
Even if they wiped their memories.
He actually was still Obi-Wan when Luke was born.
That is true.
Also seems like a thick wool coat is not what you wear in the desert. But honestly, I don't know how hot it is there.
Probably gets chilly at night.
Yeah. Kind of surprised George Lucas didn't go back and like put a tongue in C-3PO's mouth and make his eyes blink and crap.
It's got to be more lifelike, like the Transformers.
Yeah. Warrior.
Was he?
Who I was willing to murder. And not just, he doesn't, I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's like, he not only is willing to murder Anakin, but he does it in a way that's not kind, like a friend would, where a friend's like, look, you have a problem. We tried to stage an intervention. You wouldn't listen to me. I'm just going to chop your head off. It's like, I'm going to kill you in the slowest way possible. Here, I'm going to put this weapon in your hand where you have no experience. How did they film that in the original? Like,
I think it was like a shaft that had like little crystals on it that would reflect light, and then they traced over it in post-production. I'm pretty sure they did it, like, you know, frame by frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. How did my father die? Not evil. Evil. See, this is the thing, when Steven recently watched episodes 1, 2, and 3, and I was trying to impart this to him. How is it that Jedi, who represent like the good part of the Force, can have dimension to their personality enough where they can be bad, but still retain their like core goodness? But really, people on the dark side of the Force are only evil. Now, I know in the end, it's like, you know, Darth Vader has some goodness to him still, but I feel like it's kind of poor storytelling, the fact that it's like, you're either completely one or you're completely the other. Like, because they paint it as white or black, but
well,
it's
I
like...
Well, I think that the Jedi even say, like, absolutes are the way to the dark side, but you absolutely cannot mess with the dark side.
Yeah. He's like, yeah,
and I feel like the
I love
way
that video, I'd watch that video all day.
The way Jedi are taught about the Sith or whatever, it's like, you know, those who don't remember history are doomed to repeat it. The Jedi are like, nope, we're not talking about the Sith. We're not talking about how they went wrong.
I mean, I don't want to give away too much of the like 1, 2, and 3 story to tell, but I really feel like that's like a really big storytelling mistake.
Well, again, I don't want to just
no, I know.
Rag on the movies
I'm just,
either.
No, I mean, they're completely fun. I just think that's what makes the difference, I think, between sophisticated storytelling and, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
This was also an interesting set piece that they returned to in the Marvel comics recently, where Luke was looking for answers, like right after Obi-Wan died on the Death Star and went back to his place, and he actually had a run-in with Boba Fett here, because Boba Fett had been hired by Darth Vader to track down Luke.
Now let me ask this question. Is Obi-Wan living off taxpayer dollar? I mean, is he poor living in the woods like that? I mean, essentially that's what he's doing.
I don't know.
Do you think he has a job? Like he works at the local ice cream parlor or something?
That dude's hair is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, his widow's peak's pretty strong too. Further proving that typical English accents mean you're evil. I mean, I feel like style-wise, they, you know, the bad guys have cooler outfits. I mean, Han Solo's outfit aside. Their red eyes action is much stronger, too. Like, his under-eye bags are on point, and cheekbones.
Something else that they really emphasized in the Marvel comics.
That guy looks like Jermaine Clement a little bit.
Yeah. In the recent Marvel comics is that Darth Vader is a lackey.
What, for the Emperor?
Well, for all of them. Like, Darth Vader answers to Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah,
and then later,
true.
It's like Darth Vader answers to the guys on the Superstar Destroyer. Like, straight through.
You know their uniform, the little, like, military badges, kind of like Jolly Rancher stuck to, like a piece of tin foil.
And again, this is, what, 18 years since the Jedi went away? And so to say it's like an ancient religion, it's like, no, man, he might be the only one that still uses the Force. But that dude was alive when the Jedi were alive.
I mean, essentially, Darth Vader is like, he still believes in Scientology when the Scientology wave has passed. Do you think Darth Vader's wearing the same helmet he wore when he first set Scream No?
Yes.
Man, that thing's got to be gross inside.
Because I feel like that's something else I've thought about lately, that there were no...
Does he eat?
I don't think so. There are no progressions in technology between the end of Revenge of the Sith and this, where he's like, man, you know what? I can upgrade this.
Now I'm just thinking about him eating. Do you think he just has like a little straw he inserts?
He doesn't have to eat.
How does he not have to eat?
I don't know.
Everybody has to eat. He's still a person. Maybe he just injects himself nutrients. I remember seeing this thing once, and it was more to do with anime than you know, traditional Western media, but basically it's like, all the signs that your kid is going to be a hero of a story. And it's like you have some kind of orphanage, like orphanness in your parentship or whatever. And, you know, you're kind of quirky and offbeat. And, you know, it's like those parents or those people who are in charge of that ward are always like, crap, we're probably going to end up dead.
This is super dark for a PG-13 movie.
What, that they die in fire?
I mean, they are burnt to a crisp.
All that leek soup, man.
Out here. I feel like now, I'm surprised they haven't upgraded it to a PG-13. I mean, lots of people die. And even though you don't see blood or anything, like, those two characters that you got to know and knew their names are burnt to a crisp. This is also highly disturbing. The interrogation scene of Princess Leia, when they bring in the interrogation droid, That is like some mess out of like a pre-code 1950s EC horror comic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, here comes a giant needle. Let's focus on it.
It just seems like a very ineffective droid, too. Because it's like, essentially, the droid's one focus is the needle. It has like forceps on the top of it. Basically, it's a needle. Seems like that hand robot from the beginning of the Jawas would be more effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, R2 just warming himself by a little fire outside.
A little fire made of Jawas.
I feel like that's some scary, like the way, how calm he is pretty creepy. It's like, yeah, your family's dead and everything you know is gone.
He's got to keep that middle of the road, though.
Yeah. He's cool as ice. See, it's interesting because I think of Ewan McGregor as such a fun guy. Like, even though I know he's not himself, he's playing the Ben character in 1, 2, and 3. He's still like a fun guy. Old man Ben does not seem fun. He definitely seems like he would not be receptive to a fart joke. Wow, look how great those added effects look. That's how I feel, the way he just hit that. Thank God we did this world building.
Honestly, and I'm surprised, you know, they could have gone back in and retweaked the graphics. Star Wars Battlefront looks better than these shots.
I know. And, you know, the thing is, it's like there's too much quirky crap going on. It's like, oh, look, this little funny thing's happening. This little funny thing's happening. And on a given day in a city street, it's not going to be like, oh, look at all this funny stuff. Now, how many drunk dudes being stopped at a checkpoint from this movie on have said that phrase? You don't need to see our IDs.
That would be good to know.
And literally no police officer has ever said that.
I wonder, though, like, Luke wasn't panicked at all. It seems like there should have been a shot where Ben was like, we got this.
Like, that looks so silly.
R2 did a pretty good job of getting himself off the back of that, too.
Joke, 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 joke.
That dude's vaping.
I know. I was just about to say,
way ahead of time.
This always makes me think of the Star Wars Leo game. Has everything happened in the cantina where you leveled up? That devil dude's actually pretty creepy.
Oh, yeah. That was like your hub world.
Yep. Well, in the first one, but I think at one point you end up in like the diner or something.
Oh, yeah. Jax's diner from Attack of the Clones.
That game was really fun.
Yeah. I wish that they would, like, you can only get the most current Lego games for the different platforms. So you can only get Lego Marvel, Lego Batman 3. In Lego Jurassic Park for the next gen consoles. You can't get the Star Wars ones or Indiana Jones or anything.
I'm telling you a story.
hammerhead.
Like, those are really impressive that they can make the eyes move and stuff. And even the Chewbacca costume is really impressive.
On the Baba. I don't know what he wants. It's weird that his voice seems to be dubbed, though.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like his mouth is too impaired by the prosthetics.
Do you think he is, like, he was born that way? Or if something happened to him?
And
he,
I'm pretty sure something happened. Again, bad stuff for a PG-13 movie. Yeah. Severed arm with blood. But then if that caused bleeding, then why, when Luke got his arm cut off,
there's no blood.
There's no blood. Because I thought a lightsaber was so fine it cauterized the wound.
Well, that's an old one, remember? Or something.
More vaping. That dude looks like a hobbit. I mean, I guess he's wearing boots, but... Figuring Dan.
What did you just say?
That's the band. Figuring Dan.
Don't say that to me. I'm told to keep this PG. That hair part on Han Solo. Do you think that Harrison Ford was cool in high school?
I don't know. I feel like he's one of those common, like, internet, here's his yearbook photo kind of guys, and he just kind of looks like a dude. You know who actually looked a lot like him in high school? Larry David.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I can see that. Have you seen Larry David's daughter? She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
She's on one of those, like, rich kids of Instagram. Has anyone ever made a vest look as cool as Han Solo?
I don't think so.
This might actually be the last known cool vest since, like, the 50s.
No. Marty McFly's vest in Back to the Future.
Nobody wanted to look like that. The life preserver
vest, yeah.
Nobody wanted to look like that.
Yeah, did. Sure.
What?
17,000 credits.
Where does Ben have that kind of money?
He said he's going to give him 2 now and 15 when they get to Alderaan.
Well, I'm saying, like, in general, again, I want to know where he gets his money from. And the reason I say that is because when Ben takes his hood off, or his big cloak, you see that there's, like, a big rip in his shirt. And it's been patched.
He never learned how to sew.
So has Ben never gotten with a lady before?
Probably.
I mean, it looks like it's kind of slim pickings in this world.
Now the dreaded Greedo. I just heard some other theory with Greedo where someone else was actually going... Like, I think it was Jay was telling me from the Tales of the Cantina books, like, Greedo actually had a price on his head or something, and so someone set Greedo up to get killed by Han so they could take his body and collect the bounty on him.
I will say, I was told this year that emerald green of Greedo is the color of the year.
Now the age-old question, who shot first? It still looks like Han shot first.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or they shot at the same time.
I think it looks like they shot at the same time, but what do I know?
And Greedo missed from across a table, so he deserved to die anyway for being...
Where Disney puts, like, Mickey Mouse graffiti in the cantina. And we're back at the Death Star. There must be a really cool barber on the Death Star. Because all these men are clean shaven with very defined sideburns. Although their eyebrow game is pretty wicked.
Looks so dumb. Is that like a, is that droid flying with them? Like their dashboard cam droid? Luke's worrying about the Kelly Blue Book value of his land speeder. He's like leaving forever. He has nothing else. He's just seen his aunt and uncle die. Yeah. The only parents he's known. And he's worried about getting top dollar. This guy was always really weird to me. The spy. Now another hated scene from the special edition. That was actually shot for the original movie with a very Dom DeLuise-looking Jabba the Hutt.
And it does look pretty garbage.
This scene was also in...
Does he have nipples?
No. This scene was also in the book.
That looks terrible.
Yeah. It's not great. We also get the first appearance of Boba Fett now. Austin said the other day, like he had heard that Third Eye Comics in Annapolis, Maryland has Peter Mayhew coming to their store. And he inquired with Jeremy Bullock, who was Boba Fett, and he actually got a personal reply declining the invitation.
Did he just pet his belly? Sorry.
I don't know.
But that's cool, that story.
And then did they already show the scene where he steps on his tail?
Yeah.
Okay.
He has like skin lesions or something.
He probably does.
Is he slimy or scaly? He's like a lava flow made into a creature. Look at that hipster girl hanging outside.
Mm-hmm. I guess I never realized it, but just paying attention to the runtime with the recording, this is like half the movie already. Like, it just moves from here on out once they get to the Death Star. Why doesn't anybody give R2 a hand down the stairs?
I mean, how would Luke even know that it was a piece of junk? Has he seen many spaceships?
Oh, no. He's got some sweet gloves, too.
He's got that sassy little short cape.
Not Luke with his poncho, but Han's gloves.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Wow.
Are you my mommy?
Yeah, that is kind of what it's like from Doctor Who. I don't even think they hit anybody. They just fell down.
Yeah, they're kind of crap. I remember thinking that the interior of the Millennium Falcon seemed a lot like my uncle's, like, camper, where it's like... a few functional rooms, but mostly just a place to play cards in. There are a lot of buttons in that cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
Like up and around and behind them. He's still wearing those gloves. I don't really remember him wearing gloves. Yeah. When is it ever a good idea when someone's trying to drive to have two people behind just being like, are you doing it right? Are you hitting the right buttons? Because there's buttons behind us and above us. The light is really weird. Like, it's good, but it's like they're lit from in front of them, but there's like a really strong shadow to the left.
Yeah. Maybe that's where one of the suns are, or the planet.
You know, the Death Star, if it had another like spot on it, almost looks like an ugly doll.
What is he governor of?
The Death Star? Death Star land? Now, are they like, the way that they work in this world, are they, they're just an occupying force, essentially, right?
I guess.
I mean, they haven't colonized anything.
No, they're some just, places I mean, get more leeway than others.
But, like, what are they gaining? Because it doesn't seem like they're taxing the people. It just looks like they're policing things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, well, they're also, you don't really see them anywhere. Because it's like, Tatooine's the outer rim. Like, they could kind of care less about Tatooine. But, like, Coruscant, they probably get taxes or something.
Yeah. I mean, I guess these movies don't really show, like, what they're getting out of it. It just seems like a lot of really expensive operations. And they don't really seem to take a lot of joy in the evilness of it. So I'm not really sure what's in it for them. Like, if you're an occupying force and you're trying to win over hearts and minds, naming your weapon the Death Star maybe isn't...
Yeah. She sold Dantooine out hard.
Dantooine?
Yeah. That's the name she said the rebels were at. They weren't there. This is also crazy, like, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin has the authority to unilaterally destroy a planet like Alderaan when they have done nothing.
I realize the control center for the Death Star looks a lot like the control center for the Muppet Show.
Scooter blowing up a planet.
Miss Piggy's like, make it go. Hi-ya! What is that? Is that I guess it's a helmet?
Yeah, he puts it on Luke.
Oh, that's true. Why does he need a helmet?
Because he does it blind when he can't do the firing. That's original, though, right?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that might original. Be. I don't really remember. Well, yeah, I do. I remember this. Take it back. It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Meets Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Console is like the originator of the deep V shirt too.
How does Chewbacca keep all of his hair slicked back?
Pomade? Space pomade? I wonder if there's a place on Tatooine that's called Jawa Juice. So do you have to have, like, are you born with the Force in you?
Yeah, man, the midi-chlorian count.
Well, but in theory, doesn't everything have it in it?
To some extent.
It's funny, it's mostly dudes. I mean, I know there's, like, the Twi'lek girl or whatever, but... You know, Harrison Ford in this almost, he reminds me a lot of early Chevy Chase. Like style and kind of droll speech. Like it's so hard being the cool guy. What are you looking at? Why would there be a helmet that has a non-clear base plate? Pants like Harrison Ford, like Han Solo's, are coming back in style with like the stripes down the side.
Piping.
Yep. All these interiors are so monochromatic. Do you think those wall things and the Death Star do stuff in their like office space? Like, are they chairs that go up to other floors, or are they just...
I think it's just wall.
It's just a weird wall decoration. They're in a glitter shower. How does Ben know that? He's been out of the game for 20 years.
Yeah.
How does he know all this stuff?
Ever seen a yeah. TIE fighter.
Do they have the internet in this world? Why don't you just be like, why don't you shut up, old man, and go to the back? That small move.
Now the most quotable line.
What's the most quoted line?
I feel like that's no moon. That's a space.
I have literally never heard anyone say that.
What?
In what case would you ever have to say something like that? May the Force be with you, or help me, Obi-Wan.
I don't know.
Most quotable. Freaking, that's not a moon.
Anytime anything isn't what it seems.
Like when?
I don't know.
Sorry to be poo-poo-y. For somebody who's never seen that the Death Star before, I feel like Harrison Ford like pretty quickly surmises where he needs to land the Millennium Falcon in it.
No, they're in a tractor beam.
Oh, that's right. I wasn't listening.
Remember they tried to go
okay,
backwards?
Okay, I remember. Like, oh, I remember. Oh, oh, oh. You say something, I say something dumb. It's...
Little scomp droid. I'm surprised they never made one of those. Like an RC one. Now that, I don't know. Seems unlikely. They know the name of a city on a backwater planet like Tatooine.
Yeah.
On board. According to the law, the crew abandoned the ship right after takeoff.
you find it in drones. If there were a hand for it, they must also have it. Send a scanning crew aboard. I want every part of the ship checked. Yes, sir.
I sent something, but I'm too lazy to check it out myself. He really could have saved himself so much time if he had just sensed it and then taken care of it.
Well done, scanning crew.
As soon as their shadows disappear around the corner, they come up out of the floor. Seeing how dirty the Millennium Falcon is inside, can you imagine how disgusting those pits in the floor would be with all that Chewbacca hair? We live with two dogs.
Who else? Why was Ben in one pod by himself?
And Chewbacca, and the Chewbacca, guy who's like 15 feet tall, is in with Luke and Han. What is it that they're taking onto the Millennium Falcon?
No, they're scanning.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what they said. I mean, when Han calls out, hey, can you give us a hand with this? When do stormtroopers or any of the Death Star people have any sense of humor or any sense of, like, lack of formality? They should have been like, that's not how we talk in the evil world. Again, no sense of humor. Just knock on the side of his helmet and be like, I don't know.
Bam.
Now, is that a turtleneck that they're wearing under their stormtrooper outfits made out of, like, a pipe?
Yeah, so a bendy pipe.
Great. It's not, like, from my experience, this is from Luke's perspective, the Force has done a lot of great things, like kill everybody that believed in it that was good, including my dad. You know, I never really thought about it. It looks like Chewbacca has, like, cigarette packs all down his chest.
They're cartridges. For his bow caster. I know.
How come they're different sizes?
I feel like they call her Princess Leia multiple times. In this movie, too.
They're from New York. This Princess Leia. That was a terrible New York accent. Don't give me 20 ideas. What does that mean?
Funny idea.
Oh! Han sitting with his feet up on the dash in the stormtrooper costume looks so uncomfortable.
She's rich. Also crazy, Luke promises a reward. This dude just promises a reward that the rebellion then makes good on, yeah. Even though her planet is destroyed.
But he's got the Force in him, dude.
And Luke, you know, had no authority.
But he said it with confidence. I like how that isn't that the control room for the Death Star?
Not for the whole thing, just like that hangar.
Okay. That thing looks like K-9 a little bit.
Yeah.
Seems like it would get really easy to get lost on the Death Star.
Yeah, it's like the size of a moon. How do you get from one side to the other?
Everybody walks with such purpose. And you can tell this movie was made in the past because no one's stopping to look at their phones. Look how nice that guy was. He could have gotten in the elevator with them, excellent, but he was like...
pantomime. So a moon the size of a... or a space station the size of a moon. They walk right past each other. Two ships passing in the night.
Yep, he feels the energy, but he's too lazy to do anything about it. You know that this is the floor where evil things happen because it's red. Oh, hello. I'm just hanging out at these... video game consoles. We were playing Ms. Pac-Man when you showed up. It's kind of funny Chewbacca would need a gun, because really he seems like he could just run at people and just destroy them.
It would be awesome if you could play as Wookiees in Battlefront.
You know, I never thought of this either, but, like, their laser guns can blow up a lot of things, but they never seem to poke holes in the ships.
Yeah.
Like, the windows or anything. It's just like these... and in theory, these lasers, whatever they touch...
I mean, they could be way inside on this.
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, there's got to be something in the middle of the Death Star. Maybe that's where they are. There's no windows.
There was just a window in the last shot.
No, it wasn't. It was a camera that they shot.
No, it was a camera, but then there was like a shot where it showed stars outside. Should have been like, my name is Jingle Fett and my operating number is...
is one.
Yep. What is that face? Honestly, for them to be brother and sister, they couldn't look more like each other.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, at the end of Revenge of the Sith, don't they show Grand Moff Tarkin with Vader, like, looking at the Death Star?
Yeah, I think so. You, my friend.
The princess?
You know, they have the... what are those dudes' names that are standing next to the door?
It's like Death Star Commandos or whatever.
Their helmets look like the little alien from the Flintstones.
I don't remember that. Like the Great Gazoo?
Yeah. Just like their heads look too big.
Spaceballs would look more like that.
Well, I know, but I'm saying their helmets kind of look like it already. See, like they just blew that hole up. And in theory, every laser shot has to connect to something.
Yeah.
I'm so glad she had time to reapply her lip gloss and blusher. If this was today, Maybelline or MAC Cosmetics would have a line called Princess Leia.
They should.
They probably will.
They were
will.
Smart.
They could have like a Chewbacca eyebrow pencil. Tame your wild beast.
Except now it'll be whatever Rey wears. The new one.
Maybe they could have a Princess Leia line that's like age-defying makeup. Although I doubt anyone wants to look like Carrie Fisher now. Which is a shame. I think she's a pretty cool lady in her like crazy way. See, again, Leia shoots and blows up that grate.
Yeah.
Again, not they picking said, like complete holes through it. It's just... It seems silly. Like, if in theory the outside of a ship is, like, the one thing that lasers don't work on, why wouldn't you wear an outfit made of that?
Whatever. That's getting too,
nitpicky?
Yeah.
I know. Well, that's what I do. I make things that are fun, not fun. Haven't you ever gone shopping with me?
But I think people think, like, oh, Princess Leia, like... You know, female in distress kind of thing in that situation. But, like, once they opened the door, she took charge.
Yeah.
Damsel in distress. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, I thought you were trying to make her sound more...
No.
...empowered. It's a good thing all the trash is, like, rubber pieces. See, that's what it should be like with the lasers. So I guess this is the non-bio-waste trash chute on the Death Star, which is good.
Yeah.
It's like where they throw away water and metal parts.
Now, did they put the monster in the trash compactor? Is that like standard issue?
I guess... I guess I never really thought of that. That is a good point. They were just like, well...
Like, is it like a guard dog? Like a junkyard dog? Is it an accident?
Like someone got a pet and then they were like, I gotta get rid of the pet because they did a bunk inspection, so they put it in the trash chute.
Is there trash monster like the... Was it Aragorn or something? The spider from Harry Potter?
Like it was there when they built the ship?
No, like Hagrid had the spider. Yeah. And then he was like, too big. I got to get rid of it. And then it's like, oh, it wasn't supposed to hurt anybody.
I mean, that's not really even that much water either. It's only, what, like maybe a foot and a half of water? Yeah.
Did they ever make a trash compactor playset?
I don't know if you really can for kids, because like it's just like a hole with water and metal parts.
Yeah, but it could have been like three sides.
Yeah. I like how Chewbacca is like, I'm not helping with any of this. I don't want to get wet. I'm a classic pet.
He doesn't like the smell.
I know. Good thing they threw away that big pipe.
Han's pretty strong here.
Now, did they turn the trash compactor on because they think they went down there?
No, I don't think
so. It's just 2 o'clock on Wednesday?
Yeah. Classic blooper.
Oh, hello.
Clunk. Stormtrooper hitting his head. What an idiot. Why wouldn't they be like, why are you all dirty?
What are those little things on their backs, the stormtroopers? Those little, like, Beethoven, St. Bernard barrels that they were in their backs.
Fanny packs? They keep all their money in there?
They just ID. Got, like, a pack of cigarettes in them or something?
Yeah.
Because it was the 70s.
It's like the unforgivable sin nowadays, not having your phone on.
Yep, it's true. Oh, what, when R2 and C-3PO don't know what's going on?
Yeah, when 3PO won't answer the phone.
Yeah.
Won't answer the comm. That's like a total mom move. Like, whoops, I forgot my phone. This is a nice little, oh. I almost feel like it would be better if you had that shot first of them screaming, like you showed it, like maybe they got crushed and they showed that, yeah. And then show them celebrating. Little quick moment of,
maybe they could go back and re-release the movie irony. A third time with yeah. That.
The Mayer cut. Now this scene, I don't know why I chose this scene. I was like, I remember being little and being like, I want a lightsaber. And in like very early analog whatever, like my parents took a picture of me, like a Polaroid of me wearing a bathrobe and holding a broomstick, and they colored the broomstick to be like a lightsaber, and then glued the picture into a drawing that I had done of the power or of the tractor beam generator. Very, very early blue screen.
I think it's interesting on the lightsaber front that I don't think they've ever made a good lightsaber toy. Like, I know they make the prop replicas that are the expensive, you know, glass cylinders, but
the force effects.
Yeah. But I think for kids, it seems like something like that should exist. That's cool. That's not just like five little cylinders that when you flip it out, they like extend. Yeah.
We have one at the store. It's crazy. Like, it's not, it doesn't telescope, it's just a piece, and then it had holes at the top of it so that when you swing it, it makes like a
what, like those sound. Kids' speaker phones or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. I don't think I realized how many guys that was. It's a lot of guys.
Do you think Chewbacca has to be groomed? Like he goes Definitely. And has mats taken out of his hair? Or maybe he went through like a phase in college where he had like, you know, dreads.
Or do you think he has to like pick mites out of his hair and that's stuff?
That's disgusting. I guess he hangs out in space. There's probably not a lot of bugs there. She's so bossy. She's like, I'm not going to find the controls. You find those controls.
Yeah, but even then, it's like she's so down on Han all the time. And Luke's like, yeah, I just blasted the yeah. one thing that we needed. And she's not mad at him. Good thing he has a grappling hook yeah. for working in the desert.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does he need that for?
Once again, I think people consider this a, like, damsel in distress moment for Leia, because Luke has to carry her. But it's like, she's shooting people. She's killing stormtroopers. He's in the same predicament.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that one-sided.
I will tell you, stormtroopers would not be very good for stealth because they make a lot of clicking sounds when they walk.
It's true.
C-3PO's got that lean, yo.
Close the blast doors. Open the blast doors.
That would be me. Again, Darth Vader couldn't sneak up on you either.
You know what would be way worse about this? That is the same lightsaber that maimed Vader in the first place. Also, you know, just inconsistency or whatever, he's like only a master of evil Darth. Like, that's his first name. Like, his name is Garth Algar.
Your powers are weak. Your sword fighting powers?
I mean, they're using the Force, too.
To do what?
To anticipate each other's moves and stuff. Did...
Can you get us a lightsaber if you're not a Jedi or a Sith?
I mean, you can get one.
Where do you buy them?
You make your own.
How do you make your own?
That's part of the Jedi training.
You no make wonder your own there lightsaber. Aren't many girls. I feel like that's very much a traditional guy thing. I mean, honestly, Jedi seem like they should be like, we don't fight none.
Didn't the first Luke figure have a lightsaber?
That would be a you question.
I think it did. And so it's like he never even uses it. Like he played with it once and he trained with it once. But that's, I forget what it's called. I think it's called Plastic Galaxy. I know I talked about it on the podcast before, but there's a whole movie about how the Star Wars toys and the people that made them and designed them influenced the reception of the...
You know what's more messed up? I'm sorry. I know you're... Luke is way more upset that Ben got killed
than his aunt
than his family in the desert.
Yeah.
They should, like, re-sync over it and have it be like, no.
Throw it in reverse.
Chewbacca kind of has a Mr. Pringles mustache. Is that his name?
I don't know. The guy from the Pringles can? Do you think the Millennium Falcon has DirecTV?
Probably.
Big satellite dish.
Mm-hmm. I more just think there must be tons of Chewbacca hair everywhere.
Luke just knows how to use a gun. I did always think those were cool cannons.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the more mechanical nature and stuff.
Yeah. They're kind of like those things you see at the park with, like, the sand cranes, like, in a sandbox. Yeah.
That would be a fun arcade game, actually.
Yeah.
Just having the whole thing and being able mm-hmm. to move it. Surprised they didn't redo that screen too.
Can you imagine though if they redid old like cult movies, like if they redid Rocky Horror but like made it, you know, more modern in the same way? What would they even do?
I don't know.
Maybe like the scene where they make Rocky instead of like rainbow juice or whatever, it's like
some lasers.
Yeah.
I always liked those guns too, the like stompy nature. Like,
yeah.
This is also a cool scene too, because I feel like it's the first time it's like they're in space. Like, because Han climbed up and Luke climbed down to go to the guns, and they're on the top and the bottom. But then, like, they're back to back to each other. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Mostly because the audience can't see it, but you provided hand movements.
Well, I'm saying the guns are on the top and the bottom of the Millennium Falcon. Han climbed up to the top when Luke climbed down, but then when they're sitting in the chairs, they're back to back, and the tunnel that they climbed up and down in is lateral. I forgot about that.
What?
I don't know why. Like
that scene?
Yeah, that they wanted them to escape.
Han's dash kind of looks like it's got a bunch of silver pepper mills all over it. Sister. That's kind of a big statement. I wonder if he cares about anything or anybody. Your friend is a garbage person.
Good. Do you think Han was just messing with him?
No. Right
there?
Well, maybe. I don't know. Do you think he was foreshadowing the fact that Luke and Leia are brother and sister by constantly calling Leia sister?
Yavin 4, the future home of the Jedi Temple.
This is, like, all these little cars taking people to planes. It's like being at the Charlotte airport where it's constantly just
beep, yeah. Beep, beep,
taking people beep. Up to terminals. She's always talking, it's our only hope, it's our only hope. Jeez, did someone get the titular line? No, this isn't an only hope. This is a new hope.
You'd think Archie would just have, like, a USB, maybe a lightning cable. So real talk, could the Death Star, one, how does it move on its own? And two, couldn't they just like go to a planet and like fly really close to it and it would cause geological disasters that would destroy that planet?
Because of gravity?
Yeah. It'd be like when Cybertron comes too close to Earth.
I was thinking like Luke and Han and Chewie take to being with the Rebels pretty quickly. They're not like, whoa, this is a crazy base or anything.
They're just waiting on their money right now. They have a pretty tight defense. He called her Princess Leia again.
That guy in the front looks like a member of One Direction. Does Tarkin do anything? I mean, he seems to just stand around being like, what else is going on? I guess he blew up Alderaan.
That's a lot of money, man.
You know, I was thinking the orange jumpsuits they wear, it's like that's a color a prisoner wears now. May the force be with you. What are you looking at? Was that Chewbacca being like, we should be staying here?
I don't think so.
Or was he being like, leave Luke alone?
I don't know.
Now, how much time do you think has passed? Like hours or a day? Okay. So Luke's like, all right, so I thought I could make a passive judgment on character when it comes to Han, and that he would change his mind based on my 3 hours of experience in his company.
Oh, you mean, I don't know. There's Biggs Darklighter. Red 3.
Well, you know why that guy had to leave Tatooine. He had too cool of a mustache for that old dirtball.
Leader of Rogue Squadron.
Thanks, guy I've never met.
That wasn't in the original cut, right?
I don't know.
The whole Biggs thing. And Luke, of course. Luke is proficient in the X-Wing and flying the T-16 Skyhopper, also made by the Income Corporation.
So was C-3PO designed as like a robot butler?
I guess. He was supposed to, like, help around the house.
Yeah, that's right. He's like the Mr. Belvedere of robots.
A lot of establishing shots of people getting in their X-Wings. And then they don't even take off cool like in Top Gun.
That looks like a really messed up ride, the way it's rocking back and forth like that.
I wonder if this scene lasts longer than the Death Star has. So let's check. We're at a minute, or an hour and 47 minutes right now. So the Death Star has to be blown up by 2 hours and 2 minutes. Jack Porkins. I would be so bummed if I was in a Y-Wing. Wedge Antilles.
So is the Death Star completely like a military operation? There's no like families living on it? Because it's really big. I mean, when you think about it.
I know, it's a moon. I mean, they never show any evidence of anything like that.
Well, it just seems like there's not enough people for it to be as big as it is. Maybe parts of it are just like a weird menagerie of alien animals or something.
It's just like, whatever, I hit some stuff.
All right, I'm done hitting things.
Oh, poor Jack. No, I'm all, oh, God.
I'm not all right. It's actually, I mean, outside of the context of a movie, someone saying to you, trust your feelings, it's a pretty weird thing to say. Like, to someone you've just met.
Pick up your visual scanning, aka look around.
Can't see it. Now, does the droid on these planes, does it have an operational purpose?
Yes.
Is it actually flying?
It's like helping them fly and stuff. Like, they're mainly doing the flying, but, like,
it's like doing some BS flying.
Like, they can't jump to hyperspace, and then, like, R2 makes repairs and stuff. Mm.
I mean, I remember the repairs part.
Because in...
That is actually a killer mustache.
I think it was the final issue of the Princess Leia miniseries that just came out. They were on Naboo, and they were flying those yellow starfighters from the end of Phantom Menace, but they didn't have any droids to put in them, and so they were talking about how much harder it is to fly without droids. The Death Star will be in range in 5 minutes, and now it's 1 hour 56 minutes when they blow it up. That dude is such a schlub. Doesn't even fasten his helmet.
I would think that Darth Vader would have a difficult... Actually, really, all the stormtroopers have a really difficult time flying because there's not a lot of neck mobility in their costumes.
Yeah, not much peripheral vision. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's where the Force comes in.
Now they're saying 3 minutes. That would still be 1:56.
I mean, what you were saying about Luke being able to fly these planes, it's sort of like, not only is he able to fly these planes, but like, they've known this guy in theory less than a day, and they're like, hey, we've got an extra plane, we've got a flight outfit the right size for you, we got you a helmet, we're going to hook you up, bro.
Yeah, but when he actually goes in, he does it with Biggs and Wedge.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you think there would be somebody else who's on the Rebel team who's like, dude, I was supposed to fly today.
Yeah. I don't know. He earned it, though.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he did.
I gotta just impact it on the surface.
Sorry, I don't have a lot to say about, like, shooting guns and flying machines. He seemed like he was saying yay before he blew up.
1 minute. So on 156. Still right. Just like Beggar's Canyon.
So are they flying along the crack in the Death Star? I can't remember.
I think it's just a random crack. I don't think it's necessarily like the axis.
I love that you're just making sound effects. I don't think they're catching on the microphone, but he's just like pew, pew, pew. And no, I don't think you can help yourself.
Wedge punks out. What are the wingmen supposed to do in this situation other than just block the fire? You know?
Yeah.
They can't shoot backwards.
That's true. And this is the thing that I was saying, like, I'm not really sure how the Empire works, like, whether they're an occupying force or not. Because, like, Moff Tarkin saying, you know, oh, this is a moment of victory for us. Why wouldn't we be gloating? It's like, who are they gloating to? Are they going to put it on, like, the cable network and be like, look at the great thing we did today? Because it's not really how they project the Empire, you know? And they definitely don't share their victories with their troops. How come they're not shooting at him?
I guess they're recalibrating.
That's a lucky chance on his part.
Yep.
It doesn't really look like Princess Leia when she's looking at the screen of what's going on knows what she's looking at.
Yeah.
She kind of has the face that I have when I'm watching football. Where it's like, I know other people care about this. I don't really know what's going on. But I know when it's bad.
Something else I think most people forget about is right here. That not only did Han not hit Darth Vader, Han didn't even hit the TIE fighter that hit Darth Vader. That dude just spazzed out.
Maybe he, like, sneezed and... Can you imagine sneezing inside of those helmets?
We were saying, I wonder how long Darth Vader just tumbled through space.
How is he not dead with that explosion?
They got away. They showed him. I guess they showed Vader just like swinging back into place, but it would be funnier if he just swung away for days. So out of 30, 3 made it back.
I guess it's not terrible though when you consider how big that Death Star was.
The other big blooper, the carry.
They have so much chemistry.
Yeah. Do you think they actually fixed R2, or is it like an iPhone when you bring in your iPhone with a cracked screen and they just back it up into another iPhone and they're like, here you go, same thing.
Yeah.
They just put him into another blue astromech. This has got to be, I would think, one of the most famous scenes with no dialogue. Like, longest, most famous scenes, you know? Certainly of, like, modern filmmaking. In the talkie era.
I never really saw this, though, until much later.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not, like, something really memorable as part of the franchise, if that makes sense.
I think it's very memorable.
I mean, again, though, I saw them out of order.
Luke's sweet jacket.
Gosh, her eyebrows are plucked to perfection. She loves that bright fuchsia eyeshadow, too. She wears it all up to the brow bone.
It's so subtle, too, the way she was like, ugh, whatever, when Han smiles at her.
She's like the Stevie Nicks of space. Tell me I'm wrong. Those are some crazy ball caps those guys are wearing, too. They've got, like, flat brims that have been cracked in half. It's a cool necklace.
Why didn't Chewbacca get a medal? He did it, too.
Because it gets stuck in his hair. It's like none of the people in the background, maybe that old man looked very happy.
Another well-framed shot to end the movie. Well, folks, let us know what you thought of our first feature-length commentary. Let us know what you thought of Carly's renditions of all the different themes.
Crushed it.
And let us know if you'd like to hear the rest of the movies before episode 7. Force Awakens comes out on December 17th.
And let us know if you think the Force is still strong with us.
In the meantime, you can find us online at facebook.com/AcmeGreensboro, on Tumblr at acmecomics.tumblr.com, and on Twitter at acmecomics. You can find all of our upcoming events, including details on our Star Wars premiere parties at the Brassfield Cinemas and Four Seasons Station, on our website at acmecomics.com. And you can hear this episode, as well as all the other episodes, streaming from the Acme Wave Projector on our website at acmewaveprojector.com.